What's up, everybody? It's Megan here with the Student Loan Planner Podcast. It's the Friday financially free episode today, and we are going to be chatting about social media hypes or trends that will keep you poor. I'm looking forward to this topic because I feel like there's a lot on social media that you're exposed to and a lot of things that make you feel a certain type of way. Feel FOMO, feel like you're not doing the right things or that you're not jumping on the right opportunities. So I'm here to really expose some of these, I would say, negative kind of get rich quick schemes or things that can really just perpetuate like bad financial behavior and keep you in a bad position financially where it makes you think you're doing the right thing or making progress, but really in actuality, you're not. In general, I think these trends can be, if they're followed blindly, it can really contribute to poor financial habits and really hinder wealth building potential. So that's why I want to chat about it, because that's the big deal, is it could hinder you growing and working towards your ideal financial future and getting there as fast as possible. These trends often capitalize on short-term excitement, like FOMO, fear of missing out. I would say they rarely lead to longer-term financial success. They really harp on like the FOMO mentality or the, you know, I want something now thought process. So let's chat first, number one, about get rich quick schemes and cryptocurrency. I cannot talk about get rich quick schemes without talking about cryptocurrency, because this is, I feel like, the OG hype when it comes to getting rich very quick, investing in something that people don't know a lot about. This has to do a lot with short-term speculation. Cryptocurrency is very variable overall. And actually, things like Bitcoin right now are doing pretty well. And I've actually had clients over the past couple of weeks ask me if now was a good time to start investing in Bitcoin. And as a financial planner, you know, I like to ask a lot of questions back, like, well, why are you asking? Or what is interesting you in Bitcoin? And the answer from the couple clients that this came into play with was, oh, well, I'm seeing that it's doing really well, right? And I asked, where are you seeing that this is doing really well? And you can see market trends in a lot of different places, but their answers kind of boiled down to they were seeing a lot of stuff on social media about Bitcoin popping off, basically. That's not wrong. Like, cryptocurrency has fluctuated quite a bit in value up and down. And right now we're at a very high point with Bitcoin, and not a lot of folks know a lot about cryptocurrency. And I'm not going to pretend like I know a lot about cryptocurrency either. But when we're talking about a investing plan for your future or long-term financial goals, we do want to be diversified. So does that mean we should have some cryptocurrency in our portfolio? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know you. This is not investment advice. I don't know your goals. But that's something to can be considered. But it's also something where if we don't understand it and we are very risk adverse, cryptocurrency might not be something to entertain, because it is historically so far been a very, I would say, variable, risky product. Or I don't know if you would call it a product, but investment, I guess you could say. But really what it boils down to here with the social media issue is you'll have many social media influencers promote cryptocurrency by basically saying you're going to get quick gains. You're going to have a great return on your money, as, you know, really quickly. And we in this society today, we're all about the now. All of us, we're all about instant. We're all about the now. We'd get frustrated if it took, you know, an extra 2 seconds for a page to download on our computer or on our app or something. So we're very impatient. And so the quick things, the quick path to success is attractive. And of course, it's something that folks want to pay attention to. But there's a lot of different things that are being, I guess, advertised with some social media influencers when it comes to investing in cryptocurrency. It's a lot of hype. It's a lot of speculation. It's a lot of not understanding the fundamentals of investing and an investment plan. And it can often lead to really massive losses, or just in general, not understanding really the full picture of what you're doing, what you're investing in, when you should start investing in this, if and when you should be taking money out of that investment. It's not part of a plan. I think that's what I'm boiling it down to, is it's not part of a plan. And so it's very disorganized, and it's not an educated decision a lot of times. And these social media influencers, they're not investment professionals. They're not financial professionals. So they're going off of maybe their one-time success experience, which is pretty dangerous to make a financial decision off of, in my opinion. Some other, I guess, hypes when it comes to kind of these get-rich-quick schemes, another is the Forex trading and binary options. There's a lot of influencers pushing the idea that you can make thousands and thousands of dollars by trading foreign currencies or using binary options. These markets are very volatile. So again, if you're risk adverse, which means you're not okay with losing money with, you know, let's say you're investing $1,000, how would you feel if that went down to $200 tomorrow? How do you feel about that? Would you take that money out, or would you keep investing, or would you hold? That's what you want to maybe ask yourself when it comes to really any investment decision. But it does take a higher level of skill a lot of times to be successful with something like this. And it's easy to lose money trying to chase the trend or trying to learn the game, especially if you're not even interested in this stuff, right? If this is just something that you're doing to try to earn a little bit more money on the side, if you're not interested in following investing trends or foreign currency trends, things like that, then this is not for you, right? This is not something that it's a high risk hobby that if you're not even interested in this hobby, could be a bad thing, could make you lose a lot of money. But that also brings me to day trading. Day trading as a lifestyle is also something that's highly glamorized on social media, I think. There's a lot of day in the lives of folks who are day traders. And the reality is it's incredibly difficult to be consistently profitable with day trading. If it was easy, if everybody could kind of predict what the market was going to do, then there wouldn't be a fair market. We'd have a bunch of millionaires, billionaires walking around, you know? The reality is it's not consistently profitable, and a lot of day traders lose money. But a lot of these influencers that promote day trading, they profit from maybe they have had a good run or a couple good opportunities. Think about their other income sources. If they're an influencer, they're also promoting this lifestyle or getting involved in this, and they may be selling courses or selling things to you to also be making money. So it's not like all their money is coming from this day trading. It's coming from other opportunities, telling you about day trading, teaching you how to do day trading, rather than their actual trading success. So that's something that you have to keep in mind too. Influencers also make money off of other things, courses, you know, things that they sell, things that they promote for other companies. So those are the top things when it comes to get rich quick schemes that I see a lot of. Next, so number two, what I see a lot of as well when it comes to trends or things that can keep you poor in social media is living your best life now. And what I mean by this is extreme lifestyle spending. We've talked a lot about this actually on prior episodes, but influencer-led consumerism, I sometimes will call this unhinged consumerism, where, you know, a lot of times social media influencers, they're going to promote an expensive lifestyle, expensive brands, luxury brands, even extravagant travel. And it really leads people to believe that they need to be keeping up. They need to be buying what these influencers are buying. They need to be having all these things that these influencers have throughout their day to day. And this can really lead to overspending on a lot of not just small stuff, but also big stuff. Like, it might make you feel like you do need that expensive car. You do need those designer clothes, or you do need, you know, very lavish vacations because you treat yourself. You earned it. Right. And there's truth to that. Like, you should be treating yourself. You should be enjoying your life. But I think the promotion of this day to day on an ongoing, like, not a treat, right? When does a treat become just reality or become just part of your food group? That's when you're doing too much of it or you're eating too much of it. Right. And a lot of times, actually, I was watching another YouTube video the other day about how a lot of influencers are starting to kind of feel this, or talk about the immense pressure that they have to continue to make it look like they live a certain lifestyle. Like certain people, influencers, will go and rent a mansion for a week to film a bunch of content in it. And it's meant to look like their vacation or their home even, but it's a mansion that they rented out for a week just to shoot content. It's not their actual life. And then they leave and they go back to their home. There's folks out there that will talk about the immense pressure to spend to kind of keep up with the fast fashion trends that are out there to stay relevant when it comes to looking cute all the time on Instagram or on TikTok or whatever, purchasing things on credit, or they're doing these clothing hauls where it requires you to purchase a ton of product to basically do these hauls and promote that to their audience. So it's certain things like this, it's not sustainable. It's not realistic to think that you can continue to spend in that way on an ongoing basis, especially if TikTok is going away. Just kidding. We don't know what that's going to look like, but it's interesting. It really does promote overconsumption of products, of spending in general, and overemphasizes like glamorous purchases. Like many influencers are going to show off really high-end items like watches, handbags, cars as symbols of success. And that playing that comparison trap game can make you feel like you need to be kind of keeping up with the Joneses. And this is not something that, like, I don't think this is sometimes completely obvious. Like we'll be sitting and scrolling through social media as folks do, and we're intaking all this information slowly, steadily over time. And that can lead to that comparison trap that I'm talking about here, where you're comparing like what you have to what's online and what's unrealistic online too. Like, and you may even know that to your core. You may even know that, like, you know, the things that you're watching, that you're following are not realistic, but it still has that behavioral impact on you. It still makes you feel a certain way. And, you know, following trends like this or falling victim to maybe the feelings here might encourage you to prioritize, you know, status symbols over actual wealth building activities. That's also what it comes down to, is what are actual wealth building activities? Well, it's not driving the nicest car on the block. It's not necessarily having the biggest house on the block either. It's about saving. It's about investing. It's about paying off debt. It's about being able to sustain your lifestyle now, but also when you don't want to have to earn income anymore. How can we get to that place? And those are sometimes like the invisible things, right? That's not super glamorous, right? It's not super glamorous to be steady, consistent with saving, to be steadily paying off your debt or going towards loan forgiveness with your student loans. You know, it's not sexy even, you know, when we're talking about it, like it's more the boring route. But boring, I think, is best when it comes to wealth building over time, not these get rich quick schemes, not this overconsumption or this comparison trap that makes us feel like we have to keep up with the person who's online that isn't even living that lifestyle at the end of the day. All right, next up, easy passive income promises. Man, I can't talk about easy passive income without talking about real estate. I get a lot of questions about real estate. Our team gets a lot of questions about real estate, you know, wanting to invest in real estate. And the question is, well, why? Why do you want to get invested in real estate? And the answer is almost always, well, I want a passive income stream. I want a passive income stream. That's almost always the answer. And so online, on social media, real estate flipping or having Airbnb properties, getting involved in real estate, there's a ton of hype around these things, or managing short-term rentals, a lot of hype. There's a lot of hype in particular about how it's easy to build wealth with real estate in general. And there's certainly truth to that. People can be successful with real estate, but many people fail because they underestimate the capital, like how much it costs to get involved in real estate initially and on an ongoing basis, I should say. They underestimate the capital, the time, and the risk involved, especially in saturated or pretty volatile markets. So it's not just as simple as, you know, going and finding the next cheap property that's for sale, purchasing it, and starting to rent it out. that doesn't even sound easy to me. Like I've purchased a home myself, just the primary residence that we live in. And that was a whole experience. It was not easy. So I can't imagine purchasing other properties as being easy. It is a job. It's not as passive as I think people make it sound like. It's really not. Unless you really enjoy it. If you enjoy the business of real estate and the business or the job of being involved in real estate, I think that's something that the passive income, it shouldn't be what your only focus is on. Like that shouldn't be the only thing that you want out of or that's drawing you to get involved in real estate, I guess you could say. You should also have some interest in being involved in real estate at the end of the day. Now, there's a lot of online courses or things that social media glamorizes when it comes to getting involved in real estate. There might be a lot of courses out there that you can purchase to learn about getting involved in real estate. And speaking of online courses, this is kind of a, not a tangent, but a similar situation on social media or online, but different in the sense of there's a lot of online courses in general or e-commerce like side hustles that are being advertised and being glamorized as a quick wealth building activity. And this is, you know, influencers saying or selling basically their own courses on how to get involved in drop shipping, how to create digital products, how to do a specific business activity. Like there's a lot of examples of this. While a lot of this can be legitimate ways to make money, they do often require a significant startup cost and also skills and also effort to where it's not as passive as it's being made out to be, especially in the front side of things. So a lot of people get sucked into spending money on these courses, on these get rich courses, or, you know, generate passive income courses and investing in products that don't really sell as expected, or the experience isn't as expected. And, you know, they spent the money to learn the information or to try to get involved in this information for maybe not the result that they expected and maybe for not the right reasons. So easy passive income. Another idea for this is you could be investing in, you know, a well-diversified portfolio, investing your money over time, and that will generate easy passive income in your retirement or like later on in life. Meaning like if you build up your account to a sizable amount, you can take safe withdrawals from that account on an ongoing basis or just live off of the dividends and the growth each year. That could be your source of income in the future. And that's pretty darn passive because all you had to do is save that money and keep it invested and diversified over time and keep contributing to that over time versus having a whole other job of managing, you know, renters or getting rental agreements out there, going and fixing the water heater that blew up at your rental property, or those other examples, like going and purchasing a bunch of stuff to drop ship. I think there's value in keeping it easy and also realizing that investing in just regular old employer accounts, investment accounts, even brokerage accounts can also be easy passive income in the future. All right, number four on this list here is over-leveraging and having debt as a lifestyle. And I know that a lot of folks think debt is bad. Like that is generally the consensus that we shouldn't have a lot of personal debt. I think we all can agree on this podcast that student loan debt is good debt. It got you to the position that you're in today. We should have a game plan for either paying that loan off or those loans off or going towards loan forgiveness. This is the Student Loan Planner podcast after all. But personal debt, like credit card debt or personal loans, we can all probably agree that those are not good debts to carry, right? But I think using credit cards to fund like status purchases is an interestingly new kind of hot, well, not new, but trend on social media where, you know, social media will often encourage the idea of using credit cards or taking out loans to finance this luxurious lifestyle for fancy dinners, for vacations, or for new technology. And it can lead to really high interest debt that becomes really difficult to pay off. also like credit card hacking, like not that that's a bad thing, but there's a lot of influencers out there that talk about credit card hacking when it comes to, you know, vacation travel, like basically getting your cards or different rewards programs, travel points to pay for your vacations or to pay for your travel. And that's not a bad thing, that there is truth to that. But I think a lot of folks don't invest the time and energy into learning about that forwards and backwards like those influencers do. And they find themselves spending money because they have to hit these certain spend goals to get those points. And they're spending money that they don't have, right? They're chasing this reward, even if it's like a cash back reward. Like it's, they're chasing these rewards on credit cards. And they're finding themselves in a position where, you know, they may or may not have gotten to that reward threshold, or they realize, I can't keep up to make this a realistic thing on an ongoing basis. I can't spend enough to maintain these points over time. And they find themselves like overspending and in credit card debt, which is not a good thing. So I think that's where it can really bite somebody in the butt there. Another thing that I think warrants being in this section, like over leveraging yourself and having debt as a lifestyle, is the buy now, pay later culture. Things like Afterpay or Klarna or Affirm, they're being promoted as, hey, you know, here's this really cool purchase you can make. Maybe it's expensive. Maybe you can afford it now. Maybe you can't, but no worries. You can split this up into multiple payments over time. That's become very normalized, where apps have that as an option when you're going through the pay screen, like you're making a purchase, and it'll give you the option to split up the payments in 4, 5, 6 different payments over time. And that can give you that instant gratification where you can buy that expensive item or that item that you can't necessarily afford right now and pay it off in installments. And it makes it super convenient. But while it's convenient, while it gives you that instant gratification, it can encourage impulse buying where otherwise, like maybe we wouldn't have been able to make that impulse buy, you know, because we wouldn't have had the credit limit or we wouldn't have had the cash in our checking account. And this can really lead to high levels of consumer debt. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves trapped in a cycle of constant repayments. I'm working with a client right now where this is the case. They have used these different apps multiple times for multiple different things, a mattress. They used it for some sport equipment, some clothing. They used it for just a number of different things. And they have these payments littered out over the next 6 to 12 months. And it's eating into their cash flow to where those payments are starting to really, really add up and really affect how much they can spend on groceries and gas for the car. So it's something that can also like quickly add up. And it is debt. It's something that you already purchased. You have the item. You have to pay that back over that cycle or that schedule. And it's something that can sneak up on folks if we don't have a good spending plan in place, or if we're not grounded in our goals, grounded in our spending, you know, spending goals overall. So I think that's certainly worth mentioning. Number 5 on this list that I've got, things that keep you poor, is chasing fads over fundamentals. So what I mean by this is following investing tips, you know, spending tips or finance tips from unqualified influencers. Social media is filled with financial gurus offering stock picks, investment strategies, or even insider knowledge. Insider information is illegal, by the way. You know, and maybe they don't actually have insider knowledge, but they're making you feel like they do. Many people have little to no formal training in finance or investing when we're looking at these people's backgrounds. That should make you make a pause. You know, that should cause you to pause. They have life experience maybe, but not the formal training and the comprehensive knowledge to back up what they might be recommending to their viewers. So they might be promoting really hot stocks or trends without understanding really the underlying risks. And it can lead followers to make poor investment decisions. There's a lot of heat when it comes to influencers also promoting products or companies that have essentially gone bankrupt in the future, or they've kind of defrauded people out of money. There's a lot of influencers out there that are catching some heat and catching some lawsuits for promoting these things without having, you know, at the time they had no repercussions for if that was a good recommendation or not. It was, hey, follow my channel. Here's more information on this product. Here's this product's information. Use my code to go sign up and get 15% off or whatever it is. And a lot of people do that if they trust that person, they trust that influencer. And if that product was shoddy or, not a good product, it was in some cases criminal or a complete scam, the person who advertised it, the influencer who advertised that, had no repercussions. I think things are changing a bit. I think things are not perfect, but I do think things are changing a bit where there are going to be repercussions. There's going to be some cases coming up that will be what future court cases or future lawsuits will point to and use as things that they can cite or reference when they're arguing their own case. So watch out, influencers. If you're genuinely trying to learn more about finance, investing, a particular financial topic, I would highly suggest looking for someone who's qualified. There's someone that I've been following lately who's a tax attorney, and she reacts to a lot of tax advice online, which, oh my gosh, that could be a whole other episode because there's so much tax advice out there on social media as well, tax loopholes or tax deductions that you can take, ways that you can create a business to be tax efficient. You know, there's a lot of different things that are out there that's like clickbaity. And she reacts to a lot of these as a CPA and as a tax attorney, breaking down like, hey, actually, this is illegal. Or hey, actually, the IRS is going to knock on your door if you do this. Really outlining like, hey, this is the real information for actual advice on these topics. Like, listen to an actual tax attorney, an actual CPA. So that goes the same way for like investing or for financial planning topics. Like, listen to a qualified professional or someone who went to school for this stuff or who studied this stuff and took the time and effort to go get certified in these areas, because they're going to give you more unbiased information, and this isn't always the case, but generally speaking, like, you'll get better information. Maybe it's not as entertaining as like your favorite influencer, but you know, if you're going for quality of information over entertainment, like, hopefully we could find a balance there depending on what you're listening to. Hopefully this podcast episode doesn't suck. You know, hopefully there's some entertainment in this to an extent, but I think there's got to be that thought too. Like, we have to have somebody, we have to be, you know, following advice or getting information from somebody who's actually qualified to be giving that information. Number six on my list is something that I already kind of mentioned earlier, the FOMO mentality or fear of missing out mentality. This can be applied in a number of different ways on social media, where there's investing based on trends, not research. So when it comes to investing, social media often fuels FOMO. Just like the Bitcoin we were talking about earlier, whether it's the latest cryptocurrency craze or a hot new stock or a viral investment tip, people tend to rush to invest in something without doing proper research or understanding what they're rushing into. And you could also be too late by the time you're going to invest in that really hot stock. It might already be pretty expensive and maybe not the best time to be buying in. So this rush often leads to buying at the peak and, you know, maybe just before some kind of bubble burst because it was just a trend. So that's when it comes to investing, but also chasing popular investments without understanding the risk. So we talked a little bit about this too when it came to cryptocurrency. Social media influencers often push trendy investments that promise high returns with little to no explanation of the risks involved, like unregulated markets when it comes to cryptocurrency, right? Those markets are unregulated. So if somebody scams you in cryptocurrency, we had a case study on this actually, which maybe I'll bring to the pod in a future episode. But if you get scammed, there's nothing, I mean, I don't know. There's not the same protections that you have with a regulated market. And then also really volatile markets in general, but also volatile companies, volatile startups. Many people who follow these trends end up with portfolios that are also way too risky overall and overexposed to a certain asset class. In personal financial planning and for longer term investing, the name of the game is diversification. Diversification, diversification. You've probably heard, like, don't keep your eggs all in one basket. Absolutely, that's true. And when it comes to like building your investment portfolio, you don't want to be overexposed to a single company. or a single asset class. Like, you don't want to be overexposed in technology if there's some kind of technology bubble in the future and that explodes. Because then guess what? Your portfolio is going to explode. It doesn't have anything else in it to help balance it out or to help you kind of ride the wave of some kind of negative downturn in that asset class. So diversification is really important. And so people who are investing in these like very trendy things and don't understand like the inner workings of building a really comprehensive investing strategy to really last long term, that can lead to losses. It can lead to being overexposed and having more risk than is necessary. Number seven on here, something else that I think is potentially keeping you poor: hustle culture at the expense of well-being. Man, I am actually a Gary Vee listener, not religiously, but I definitely fell into the Gary Vee trap like back in the day where it is hustle, 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 like hustle, hustle, hustle is the name of the game. And so burnout can be a really constant result or symptom from hustling. And not to say that you shouldn't go and work really hard. That's not what I'm saying. But hustle culture is promoted a lot on platforms and glamorized a lot on platforms like Instagram and TikTok. Encourages people to work multiple jobs, have side hustles, constantly grind to achieve success. And again, while working hard is really important, this mentality can really burn people out and lead to poor health, poor mental health, and really strained relationships. I do absolutely, of course, think financial success is important. Growing your income can be very important for your financial goals, for your future self, but it shouldn't come at the expense of your well-being, of your happiness, of your time with loved ones. There's a story that I really love that really speaks to spending time with loved ones, doing things that make you happy, having contentment with being grateful for where you are, having contentment, not feeling like you always have to have more. It's called The Parable of the Mexican Fisherman. So I'm going to read it real quick because I think it's really impactful and something I think about often. A businessman was at the pier of a small coastal Mexican village when a small boat with just one fisherman docked. Inside the small boat were several large yellowfin tuna. The businessman complimented the Mexican on the quality of the fish and asked how long it took him to catch them. The Mexican replied, "Only a little while." The businessman then asked, "Why didn't he stay out longer to catch more fish?" The Mexican said he had had enough to support his family and immediate needs. The businessman then asked, "But what do you do with the rest of your time?" The fisherman said, "I sleep late, fish a little, play with my children, take a siesta with my wife, Maria, stroll into the village each evening where I sip wine and play guitar with my amigos. I have a full and busy life." The businessman scoffed. "I have a Harvard MBA and I can help you. You should spend more time fishing with the proceeds to buy a bigger boat. With the proceeds from the bigger boat, you could buy several boats. Eventually, you could have a fleet of fishing boats. Instead of selling your catch to a middleman, you could sell directly to the processor and eventually open up your own cannery. You could control the product, processing the distribution. You would need to leave this small coastal fishing village and move to Mexico City, then LA, and eventually New York City, where you would run your expanding enterprise." The fisherman asked, "But how long will this all take?" To which the businessman replied, 15 to 20 years. "But what then?" And the businessman laughed and said, "That's the best part. That's the time right when you would announce an IPO and sell your company stock to the public and become very rich. You would make millions." "Then what?" the fisherman asks. The businessman says, "You would retire, move to a small coastal town where you could sleep late, fish a little, play with your kids, take a siesta with your wife, stroll to the village in the evenings where you could sip wine and play your guitar with your amigos." And the fisherman, still smiling, looked up and said, "Isn't that what I'm doing now?" It's a story that I've listened to multiple times. You can find this on YouTube. You can find that, you know, probably the more official story as well. But it's something that I try to think about when I'm trying to compare, like, is more even necessary? Is it necessary to work harder, to earn more money, to buy a bigger house, to drive a fancier car, just to be in the same position where I'm not spending as much time with family or where I'm not doing the things that I truly love? Like, I think the fisherman has it right. Like, he's already doing the things that he loves to do and he's happy with where he's at. So not to say, again, I say this over and over again, like, I'm not saying contentment is something we, or like settling is something that we should be okay with, or being in a position where you're not happy financially, you're not happy with your living situation, like we should just settle or should just be content with that. That's not what I'm saying. But I think hustle culture and social media as well, like keeping up with the Joneses, can make us feel like we're never done. It can make us feel like we're never enough. What we've done is never enough. And that could be really exhausting. So I don't think financial success has to rely on, like, you know, more all the time. It could also just be the consistency of a good plan, the consistency of saving, spending time with your family, focusing on yourself and your mental health. Financial success is absolutely important, but it should not come at the expense of your well-being, your happiness, or your time with loved ones. So that's one that I feel really deeply about when it comes to, because I have to remind myself of that all the time. I am a business owner with SLP Wealth, with, you know, things I've done with my work in the past. And I have to balance that. I have to balance like wanting to continue to grow and move forward with business activities and like stay in the now and also appreciate where I'm at now. Cause I'm in a place, and now I'm just kind of going on a tangent about myself, but I'm in a place now that I dreamed about being years ago, like 10 years ago. If I told myself like what I'm doing now with my work, where I'm living, like what my lifestyle looks like right now, I would be amazed. This is exactly what I had hoped for, prayed for, had been working towards. Now that I'm here, I do still have goals to move forward, to do things in my financial life, to continue to grow. But I do have to sit there and remind myself that sometimes certain things are enough, and that I did get to where I wanted to be. Next and last on my list here is the instant gratification mentality. So another thing that can keep us poor is instant gratification, the constant need to buy new gadgets or fashion. Fast fashion is going to be part of this section here. But the social media world often promotes the idea that you need to have the latest tech, the newest fashion trends, or luxury items to be successful or happy. What did we just talk about with the fisherman? Remember that story? This focus on instant gratification could lead to accumulating debt because maybe we don't have the money to be buying these things consistently or constantly, and a lack of long-term financial planning as you prioritize like really fleeting wants over sustainable financial health. So this is the unhinged consumerism. This kind of falls in this category too, like constantly needing to buy the next thing, have that status symbol. At one point, it was a Stanley Cup. I don't know exactly what it is now, but I know there's other things that show that, yeah, I've got money. I am trendy. I'm following the trends. This also goes along with that story I read just a moment ago. We need to be rooted in our goals, rooted in what we're trying to accomplish in life here, where we're not letting like the constant need to buy new things or the constant advertising that we're being exposed to, we're not letting that derail what we already had ourselves on a mission to do. Man, how can we avoid some of these traps? Because a lot of these are traps. They pull on our emotions, they pull on our desires. So how can we avoid some of these traps? Well, one, we could do our own research, whether that's on an investment, a side hustle, a lifestyle choice. We can do our own research to ensure that we're understanding what we're getting into before we're actually committing dollars to it, or we're committing feelings to it, you know, getting invested in it in some form or fashion. Another way is we can focus on long-term goals. And this is a perfect time of year, end of the year, coming up on like New Year, to be thinking about your goals. Building wealth takes time. That is just matter of fact. Building wealth takes time. You want to stick to a consistent financial plan or financial strategy, like saving, investing consistently in a diversified portfolio, avoiding debt, avoiding traps like these. Again, sometimes boring is best. Focus on those long-term goals, prioritize the short-term goals that you have. List out some intermediate term goals that you have. I know that's what I'm going to be doing over the next couple of weeks, prepping for 2025. Another way we can avoid these traps is to just avoid impulse buying altogether. Resist the urge to buy things based on social media trends, and especially when they don't align with your financial goals. Put in some safeguards. Take out the billing information that's in like the autofill, you know, on your phone or on your computer, to where it makes it super easy to just click buy. That way you have to go get your card and think about it for a second before you commit. That could be one easy way to avoid impulse buying because it gives a layer of protection there. maybe delete all the apps, all the shopping apps off your phone altogether. I know I've done that. You know, some folks, that could be helpful to just not have it there, not be tempted to even look, not get the newsletter, you know, maybe delete the or unsubscribe from newsletters from different stores that you don't need to be spending at or that don't align with your goals anymore. Another thing you could do is be wary of just too good to be true claims or promises. I feel like this is just general advice too, but if something sounds too good to be true, whether it's a business opportunity, an investment, a passive income strategy, it's probably worth approaching with skepticism until you've done your research and you understand exactly what you're getting yourself into. But too good to be true, there's something under the curtain that you need to learn about. It's either they're getting paid somehow, that there's some kind of conflict of interest, there's biases, there's things that aren't thought about, like risks or, you know, things that you would want to know for yourself. So staying grounded, focused on your long-term wealth building goals can really avoid you getting caught up in these fleeting trends that might keep you from achieving financial success. And that's what it's all about, like keeping you on track, keeping your head right, you know, keeping your emotions balanced when it comes to finance, because financial planning, finance in general, can be emotional as well. But hopefully this was a little, you know, insightful on what you might see or be exposed to on social media, the trends and hypes that can certainly keep you poor over time if we're falling victim or trap, you know, falling into the trap of those things. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you are a vet, a physician, or a dentist, make sure to go check out our profession-specific podcast episodes. It's the dentist and the physician one is Financially Free Dentists and Financially Free Physicians. And for vets, it is the Veterinary Financial Podcast. So go check those out if you fall under one of those professions, and I will catch you on the next one.
What if you could get fiduciary financial planning specific to your profession that's student loan aware that could change your life for a price much better than you ever dreamed possible? If that sounds good to you, go to slpwealth.com/pod for a free, no obligation 15-minute intro call with one of our own fiduciary financial planners to see if we could be a good fit for you. This podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered individualized investment advice. If a specific investment is mentioned, do not consider it a recommendation to buy or sell the investment. Seek first advice from a financial professional before implementing any strategies discussed. All investments involve risk, and past performance does not guarantee future results. Yay, compliance.